evidence of the realistic quality, intensely and vividly local. Out of the soil of New England he sprang. In a crevice of that immitigable granite, he sprouted and bloomed. Half of the interest that he possesses for an American reader with any turn for analysis must reside in his latent New England savor. And I think it no more than just to say that whatever entertainment he may yield to those who know him at a distance, it is an almost indispensable condition of properly appreciating him to have received a personal impression of the manners, the morals, indeed of the very climate, of the great region of which the remarkable city of Boston is the metropolis. The cold, bright air of New England seems to blow through his pages, and these, in the opinion of many people, are the medium in which it is most agreeable to make the acquaintance of that tonic atmosphere. As to whether it is worthwhile to seek to know something of New England in order to extract a more intimate quality from the House of the Seven Gables and the Blithedale Romance, I need not pronounce. But it is certain that a considerable observation of the society to which these productions were more directly addressed is a capital preparation for enjoying them. I have alluded to the absence in Hawthorne of that quality of realism which is now so much in fashion, an absence in regard to which there will of course be more to say. And yet I think I am not fanciful in saying that he testifies to the sentiments of the society in which he flourished almost as pertinently, proportions observed, as Balzac and some of his descendants, Messrs. Flaubert and Zola, testify to the manners and morals of the French people. He was not a man with a literary theory. He was guiltless of a system, and I'm not sure that he'd ever heard of realism, this remarkable compound having, although it was invented some time earlier, come into general use only since his death. He had certainly not proposed to himself to give an account of the social idiosyncrasies of his fellow citizens, for his touch on such points is always light and vague. He has none of the apparatus of an historian, and his shadowy style of portraiture never suggests a rigid standard of accuracy. Nevertheless, he virtually offers the most vivid reflection of New England life that has found its way into literature. His value in this respect is not diminished by the fact that he has not attempted to portray the usual Yankee of comedy, and that he's been almost culpably indifferent to his opportunities for commemorating the variations of colloquial English that may be observed in the New World. His characters do not express themselves in the dialect of the Biglow Papers. Their language, indeed, is apt to be too elegant, too delicate. They are not portraits of actual types, and in their phraseology there is nothing imitative. But nonetheless, Hawthorne's work savors thoroughly of the local soil. It is redolent of the social system in which he had his being. This could hardly fail to be the case when the man himself was so deeply rooted in the soil. Hawthorne sprang from the primitive New England stock. He had a very definite and conspicuous pedigree. He was born at Salem, Massachusetts, on the 4th of July, 1804, and his birthday was the great American festival, the anniversary of the Declaration of National Independence. Hawthorne was in his disposition an unqualified and unflinching American. He found occasion to give us the measure of the fact during the 7 years that he spent in Europe toward the close of his life, and this was no more than proper on the part of a man who had enjoyed the honor of coming into the world on the day on which, of all days in the year, the great Republic enjoys her acutest fit of self-consciousness. Moreover, a person who's been ushered into life by the ringing of bells and the booming of cannon, unless indeed he be frightened straight out of it again by the uproar of his awakening, receives by this very fact an injunction to do something great, something that will justify such striking natal accompaniments. Hawthorne was by race of the clearest Puritan strain. His earliest American ancestor, who wrote the name Hawthorne H-A-T-H-O-R-N-E, the shape in which it was transmitted to Nathaniel, who inserted the W, was the younger son of a Wiltshire family whose residence, according to a note of our author's in 1837, was Wigcastle, Wigton. Hawthorne, in the note in question, mentions the gentleman who was at that time the head of the family, but it does not appear that he at any period renewed acquaintance with his English kinsfolk. Major William Hawthorne came out to Massachusetts in the early years of the Puritan settlement. In 1635 or 1636, according to the note to which I've just alluded, in 1630, according to information presumably more accurate. He was one of the band of companions of the virtuous and exemplary John Winthrop, the almost lifelong royal governor of the young colony, and the brightest and most amiable figure in the early Puritan annals. How amiable William Hawthorne may have been, I know not.